Dean, take over.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am glad to be here this morning. Some of you don't know this. This is my home church. I did attend membership class. And so you don't see my face. Karen Krager always says, okay, are you new here? Can we? she always does that to me when I come, you know. But you guys know, I in the sense of the thing that happened a few years ago, this is where I grew up. You know, I spent 2.5 years with Pastor John and Pastor Jan going over a lot of things, and still do when I'm in town, meet with Pastor John and Pastor Jan on Tuesdays. Just to keep on discussing things. But God has really blessed me in Maryland, and the ministry has grown greatly, and I'm trying to find out where she is. She leave? Oh, well, praise God. She hears me all the time, and so that's, praise God. I love her still, and, you know, she's still my wife, and so. But the bottom line is that now God has had us go all over the place, and we're used to really spend a lot of time in the Northwest, mostly Oregon and Idaho, and now we were in Montana this year, Hannibal, Montana, which is the home of Mark Twain, you know, where he wrote Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. And so that was interesting, and we spent some time in Long Island, me and Aaron Krager, and that's very interesting. I made sure that the people on Long Island, New York, were safe. I emailed them. They let me know everything was good except for the electricity on the island where they were. And so just keep on praying for the people there. You know, we've been to Maryland. And so we've been out of the state. We'll be to Texas here. You know, I'll be going to Texas and ministering down there. So we've been all over the place. This morning, I am just blessed to be here at home. And I love it at home. A lot of times people say, when you go home, do you get to speak that often? I said, no, I'm at home. No, you got to grab that. I speak all over the place. To be at home, I want to be at home. Do you understand what I mean? But every once in a while, the Lord says, prompts me and the pastor to say, okay, it's time for me to make sure that the body knows the impact that you're having throughout the world through how you're being my brothers and sisters of this body. Some of you are visiting this morning, and I thank you for coming, because it's one of those things that if I'm in the Tacoma area, most of the time I'm at this home church here ministering, but that's not that often anymore like it used to be. But you still get to see my face if you get on Facebook. I do put out videos all the time. Oh, some of you don't get that, huh? Is Facebook a bad word now or something, you guys? Nobody's laughing. All right, Lord. Well, this morning, let's get going. All right. This morning, I want to first show a video. It's one of the videos that we've done. It's not the 700 Club. That was shown last week. But it is the Bio Channel, the I Survive Beyond and Back. Some of you have seen it. Some of you haven't. It's a little bit long. But what it does for me is just brings everybody up to snuff or up to the same par of what happened to me. And you that are here this morning don't know. My heart stopped for about an hour and 45 minutes. Hey, Casey, how you doing there? Yeah, he's my neighbor. He decided to come this morning. Praise God. Ain't that good news? Him and his family. And then my brother Alan, he's over there. Me and Alan became friends because of this video. He saw this video when he was up in the Bellevue area and made a commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so I asked him to come on down this morning and be a part. And we become really good friends. So this video right here that you're getting ready to see was shown to about 55 million households throughout the United States. And it's a secular program, so it wasn't shown on, like, the Christian stations. It was shown on the, it's a biography channel, I Survive, Beyond and Back. It's the number one show that the biography channel puts out. Out of all the biographies out there that go on, this show is rated the highest on their channel. And what it is people that have had near-death experiences. And they came and asked us to present what we experienced. The thing I love about it the most is they didn't cut out that I went to heaven. Did you guys hear what I just said? They didn't cut out I went to heaven and I experienced Jesus Christ. That's even better. Ain't that good news, you guys? See, for you that don't know this, if you're born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, when you leave this body, or what we call death, you go to heaven. That's what happens to Christians. Did you hear what I said? You know, And I like to point that out because I want people to understand it's not unusual, Pastor, for Christians to go to heaven when they leave their body. You know what I mean? Sometimes people make it sound like it's unusual that I went to heaven. You know, maybe they're thinking of the past dean. But the dean that's born again knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him forever. When I left this body, I went where the Father says Christians go. Is that good news or is that good news? So I want to show this, and after it, I'll come up. I'm not going to be here very long because the video is about 16 minutes long, but God's got something for you. Go ahead. And then I came out into this opening, and there where I saw Jesus Christ. I worked for the juvenile court system at the time. I was the program manager for a couple of programs called drug court and treatment court. You come across a lot of terrible situations, and what do you do with that? Well, mine was to pray a lot. Our kids were gone. We were living that life that most parents are looking forward to, which is to have time for themselves.
My husband and I were just, you know, still head over heels in love with each other, believe it or not, after going on 27 years of marriage.
So that day, I'm waking up and I have this pain on the right side, and I already know it's kidney stones. And I'm thinking, well, I've gone through this before. I'll just go ahead and wait it out and see if I can pray through it, if I can just, you know, push it through the day, because I do not like to give up a day of court. I was just getting ready to explode on that side, and I knew I was in trouble at that moment.
There was a call. Your husband is in the hospital in the emergency room. He has kidney stones and a kidney infection. When I got there the next morning, he had 104 temperature, and they took him in to have the surgery anyway with the temperature and with the infection. You're literally just punching your skin and punching those areas where the stones are. And after the stones are broken up, then they're easily passed.
Them wheeling me down the hallway really quick to another room. I kept on thinking, I can't seem to catch my breath. I knew that my breath was getting shallower and shallower and shallower. I could think to myself, I'm dying. It came to me, I'm dying.
I walk into the room, I'm talking, and then suddenly he's just dying literally in front of me with no other particular reason but a severe infection.
He was just going. And I asked the critical care doctor, I says, what happened to my husband? And he said, we need to intubate your husband right away or else he could die. And I went, what?
And I can remember thinking, the worst way for me to die is to suffocate. And here I am, literally suffocating.
I did tell him I'm going to help you breathe. I'm going to put a tube into your mouth and out into your windpipe. Within 2 minutes, he was intubated. And that's when everything started to happen. His heart rate from going around 120, 130, suddenly starts to come down to 80, 70, 40, 30, and then stops.
Next thing I know, I was gone. At that moment was the moment then I knew that I left my body. I remember literally experiencing this rush, like leaving that hospital real quick, leaving our solar system, our galaxies, and all our stars. The next thing I saw on both sides of me were these shooting like stars. It was amazing because there were so many of them. And at the time, I was thinking, these are prayers.
So we have a team of 8-9 people responding immediately and they start doing the chest compressions.
I had to leave the room. I couldn't stay in the room, not knowing what was going on, not knowing for sure that Dean would even make it out of this.
I can remember coming through that blackness and coming into that lighted area, and it was like, you know, some people say peace. It was past peace. I had legs, I had arms, I had everything that you can imagine that we have right now on this planet, but it was in spiritual form. There was like a green grass down on. I say grass, I don't know if it was really grass, but it looked like grass. And I was moving over it very quickly. Not only could you say I felt it, but I literally could say like I tasted it, I heard it.
Tell me what was happening to him or what was going on. This thought came to me is you better get the funeral ready because he's not going to make it.
All of a sudden these trees started moving out of the way. They parted for me and this path came up. I could hear the trees, I could hear the flowers, I could hear all of the life that was there saying, he's going to see the king, he's going to see the king. And it was great anticipation. Everything around me was joyful that I was headed in that direction. And then I came out into this opening. And there, where I saw Jesus Christ.
Daughter, friends said, pray for Dean right now because they're doing CPR on him right now.
My first encounter with Jesus, he was more of a bright color, like the sun. He was so beautiful. So you know how a crystal looks and the sun comes through the crystal? Different rays of lights were coming through him. And those lights, when they came through him, they were alive. And I remember those lights coming and wrapping themselves around me, and I felt like he was hugging me. Even though he wasn't touching me, it felt like he was just holding on to me.
Of the heart coming back, so we stop. We check the pulse, check the blood pressure. His heart came back, so we stop the CPR.
He turns and he looks at me, you know, and the first thing he says to me is, no, it's not your time, go back. And I can remember hearing those words and thinking, okay, it's not my time.
I said, okay, this is good. We have a good blood pressure. approximately 3 or 4 minutes later, he does it all over again.
I thought, well, everything is going to be okay. But, you know, that just didn't happen.
I don't know how I knew, but I knew my body was not ready.
I left the room and just was totally praying during that time.
There are many times during the call that I did not think he was going to survive. But there was some type of response from him. And that's what kept me going and saying, okay, we have to do it.
I knew I was in a better place. I was in heaven. I went around this forest and I went back to Jesus because I want to thank him for what he did. Jesus looked at me again that time and he says to me again, no, it's not your time. Go back.
We find pulse, but we didn't find a rhythm. I said, okay, let's start all over again. Let's keep working.
It wasn't really that I resisted it. I would have gone back, but my body wasn't ready. I don't know what they were doing down there. How come it wasn't ready? But all I can remember is I was so happy that my body was not ready. And I'm thinking, I am staying this time. I see Jesus. I go down on my hands and my knees again. And the third time again, he says, no, it's not your time. Go back. And that's when I left and came back.
It's probably one of the longest codes that we had had in that hospital. He was really special.
It was great to see Dean with his eyes open for the first time and alert.
I was quite concerned that because his heart had stopped, his prognosis was going to be really poor. He could die at any time.
I remember waking up off and on for the next few days thinking, what is this guy? What happened to me? I don't remember, but I know I died.
He spent 13 days in the hospital, 9 days in the intensive care unit, and probably about the third day, the doctors began to see some slight improvement.
But it took me months to really adjust. I think my wife knew I changed. I knew she knew there was a dramatic change because I wasn't the same man I was before.
He had a hard time being back here in the beginning on this earth.
I wanted to go back. I don't look at life as though it's forever on this planet. I can't any longer. That's been difficult sometimes because, you know, my wife still enjoys things on this planet. My children still enjoy things on this planet. And I'm thinking eternal.
It makes me feel like that dying is easy and there's nothing to be afraid of. You don't have to be afraid to die.
You come to really understand that you leave your body and your body dies, but your spirit never does. The real you that never does die. Thank you for being patient just to watch that. I wanted to show that this morning because some of you haven't heard the story before. You don't know what really happened. You know, one of the things about that DVD or that show, that was the first time that our side of the story was told along with the doctor's side of the story. And the most amazing thing about that is, till this day, I haven't sat down with that doctor since this happened. Okay, it was over 6 years ago. And what was amazing about it was this, Mike, is he talks about two times that my body is responding, looking like I'm coming back, and then I don't come back. And if anybody's heard the testimony for the last 6 years, I've always said there were three times Jesus told me to go back. The first time, the second time. But I didn't know that my body was responding on this side. Do you hear what he just said? That's Jesus, you guys. You know what I mean? Because we didn't coordinate it, Patrick. We didn't get together and say, hey, we got to make sure this fits together for this TV show. But Jesus knew what he was doing. Is that good news? Is that good news? You know, now I'm a scripture person. You that go to this church know that's what we are. But the bottom line is that I always tell people this. My experience does not prove the word of God. It's the word of God that proves my experience. Okay, so you'll hear me bring in a whole bunch of scriptures. And the reason I bring in a whole bunch of scriptures is for a number of reasons. But one of the reasons is this reason. So I cannot give you everything that I experienced when I was there. Even if I tried to give it to you in words, I'm coming up way short. Bottom line, it's just that way. I'm trying to take an eternal realm and bring it into a temporal realm. And even John, if you read your Bible in Revelation, the fourth chapter, when he's describing things, he says this all the time. It's like this. He doesn't say that's what it is. He says like this. And the reason is because there, nothing is falling apart. There is no sin there. Do you guys hear what I just said? And because of that, when you're trying to describe that realm and this realm, the closest you can come is literally just go ahead and say, it's like this. So a lot of times when I bring in the scriptures where I'm coming up short, if I give you the scripture, you can go read it and the Holy Spirit can expound on it. Praise God. See, I partner with the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times people get into these type of situations and they start building a ministry. I tell people all the time, I'm not building no ministry. I didn't come back here to build a kingdom. Do you hear me? I came back here to enhance His kingdom only. I'm on my way home. And if you're born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you, you are on your way home too. This is not your home. So I like to go in the scriptures, and one of the scriptures I love to read is out of John. Let me find it for you. The 14th chapter, the first verse through the sixth verse. A lot of times I've read this over and over, and sometimes I say, Lord, are you going to lead me in a different direction? He said, no, I want you to make sure my people understand this verse and how significant it is to you. Now, we have the sixth verse out there on the sign. By His Word, uses that as part of their verse for their logo, okay? But it says this in John, the 14th chapter, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. This is Jesus Christ talking. In my Father's house are many mansions, which merely means dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I like to preface this in a certain way. And this is what I like to say, Mike. This is not a belief system. That's the way it is. I didn't believe this into existence. Do you guys hear me? Whether I believe it or not, Jesus is the only way. The bottom line, Ted, we know this. That people are going to find out sooner or later. George, you know, think about it. I like to say it this way, Pastor, a lot of times. It is better to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior here than there. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So out of everybody's mouth is going to come someday, Lindsay, Jesus is Lord. It's going to happen. And it's better that you do it here than there, because if you do it there, it's too late. Is that good news or is that good news? You know? I even tell people now, some people I come in contact with that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, might as well go ahead and start saying he's Lord now, because you're going to say it any old way. It's going to come out of your mouth. This is not a belief system. This is the way it is. Because Jesus Christ is saying right here, trust me. I know what I'm talking about. See, Billy Joe, you know this. Everybody on this planet someday is going to have to leave their body. Am I right? Me and you, June, may not experience everything on this planet together in certain situations. Like we're getting ready to go to New Zealand again, and I was in New Zealand. You maybe never go to New Zealand. But one thing we will have in life, we'll have to leave our body. Everybody on this planet will leave their body someday. Jesus is saying, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Is that good news, you guys? If you're born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you forever. Most of us don't realize God Almighty, Tammy, lives on the inside of you forever. You will never not have God on the inside of you. Is that good news? When I got there, when I entered in, he looked at me, saw himself on the inside of me, and I was in. But listen to what I'm getting ready to say. And the Holy Spirit did not jump out of me and say, I got to go get somebody else. George, you might as well get used to it. God's going to be living on the inside of you forever. Most of us don't grab that. We don't hold on to that. You got God Almighty, who has never been defeated ever, living on the inside of you. Michael, how can you be defeated? You can't. You can't lose. You know, one of the things that I like to bring out now is that portion that took place of me leaving my body. That was something that I did not have any understanding of until it happened. And now I get to share about it. Most of us do not grasp this as significant as it really is. When in the Bible, in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it says that literally Jesus Christ has taken the sting out of death. Most of us don't really understand what that is. I really believe if we could grab it, me soon, and literally hold on to it, we would live a Christian life on this planet the way God wants us to live. And some would say, what are you talking about? Well, when that moment came, and up there, and you saw on that screen when I said, I'm dying. You know, I can remember that, Pastor John. I can remember saying to myself, I'm dying. And you know what was amazing about it? It wasn't that I was dying. It was I didn't have no fear. See, when I was a little boy, I almost drowned. I jumped in a pool of water without knowing how to swim. What happens to you, TJ? You start sinking. That's what happens to you. And I started going down. And as I was going down, water started rushing in. And I can remember I went past where I was freaking out to start laughing. And that's pretty bad, you guys. When you know you're drowning and you're laughing about it, that's bad. You hear what I'm just saying? And my brother, Lewis, looked at me and said, he's laughing underwater. I better dive in there and get him out. He knew something was wrong because it wasn't no funny thing under that water laughing like that. So he dove in and got me out. But my entire life from then on, I knew what it was like to suffocate. And I did not want to die suffocation. I didn't want to experience that at all. I'll tell you the truth. I was saying to the Lord behind the scenes, because all of us do that every once in a while. We don't tell people. But behind the scenes, we kind of say, Lord, if I'm to die, don't let it be suffocation. You can shoot me in the head. That's okay. Cut off my head. I'd be okay with that. But to suffocate, I knew what that was all about. And here I am, literally going through suffocation, Sarah. Literally, I can't breathe no longer. It wasn't just that my heart stopped for about an hour and 45 minutes. What really happened is I stopped breathing, and then the heart said, I ain't working no more. That's what really happened. And yet, when that moment was coming on me, when it was there, I can remember hearing this small voice way over in the corner that said, you should be panicking. You should be hysterical. You should be freaked out. You know what it was, my pastor? My flesh. My carnal thinking. The thing we talked about this morning. It was trying to give input into this situation. And that spirit man on the inside, the real me, rose up and said, I'm going home. No fear, Magali. None at all. You know, you probably wonder why I'm getting excited about it. Because if I really believe that if we as Christians, us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, could come onto the reality that we never die. We live forever. Michael, we will walk this walk the way God has called us to walk it. You don't die. You know what? I love doing this. I did it for my sister Donna that went on to be with Jesus. She was fussing at me. She was getting on me about something. She used to do that quite a bit. She thought I was her brother. You know what I mean? Which I was. And she would just get on me. Little brother, though. Not bigger brother. Little brother. You know how that is when you're a little brother? I do. Oh, he knows how it is, huh? Well, you know how it is. Let me preach to you then. Okay. So she was fussing at me. And this is what I did to her. I looked at her and said, get used to this face. You will see it forever. She's born again. She knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. She had the Holy Spirit on the inside of her. I am born again. Know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Guess what? We will know each other forever. There will be never a time that we don't know each other. You know? Most of us don't grab that and understand that when we made that commitment, we walked into eternity. Time has no more play in your life. Is that good news? One of the things I found out, Pastor, and I'll share it with you and everyone else here. Time was not created for us. When Adam and Eve were created, as you were saying this morning, they were outside of time. They were created to be eternal beings. And when they took that fruit, when they did what they did, they walked into time. Most of us don't realize that. Who was time created for? Satan. It was a countdown. Oh. Most of us don't grab that. It's the countdown. How do I know, Billy Joe? Because when Jesus walked this planet, many of those demons would come up to him and say, you come before the time. They know it's a countdown. But when Jesus Christ came, died on that cross, and I accepted him as Lord and Savior, I stepped out of time. Whoa. Amen. I came to understand that I can live this Christian life not because I got so much time to do it in. I can live it because that's who I am. I'm born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I can live it because that's who I am. I'm a Christian. Somebody says, you make it sound so simple. It's that simple. You just got to choose it. You got to choose to walk the way God has created you to walk. Some of you will say right now, Billy, you know, Bill, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you would say, well, maybe I got to do this and that. No, no, God has put it on the inside of you. He's given you all the power to do it. You got God Almighty on the inside of you. Well, I don't know everything. What you don't know, he'll make sure you know. I'm just putting it out there. You know? So during that time, when I was getting ready to leave this body, and that was going on, and I came to understand that I was going home, something else hit me strongly. I did not experience death. Some people say you died. I say, I just use that because that's the term we use. I would say I left my body. My body died. I did not die. Scripture even says it in James, the second chapter, the 26th verse. He says this. Most of us don't grab it because we're looking at the faith piece of it. But he says this. The spirit, the body without the spirit is dead. It's not the spirit without the body that's dead. It's the body, literally, without the spirit is dead. Did I say that right? That's one of those tongue twisters. You can tell. Don't try to say it fast. But the bottom line is this, Aaron. When I left my body died. I didn't leave my body because it died. My spirit left my body. The real me, who I really am, left this body and then it died. That's what happens. The sting is out of death. I didn't feel it. I didn't experience it at all. Most of you don't realize that you can live this Christian life because you don't experience death. You're free. Steve, you are free. You can walk the way God has called you to walk. You can believe the way God has asked you to believe. You can be who you're supposed to be because you're free, Patrick. Is that good news, Cindy? Bottom line, Mother Ruth. You can be who you are because you are an eternal being. When I left this body, and people say, well, didn't you feel the sting of not breathing? No, I didn't. Has no memory of it, you guys. I wasn't in it when it was happening. Most of you don't realize that. Loved ones that have even died a terrible death and you think they died. They weren't there. They had left before the body stopped operating. Your body don't have no power over you. It can't kick you out. It can say, I don't want you in here. I'm getting somebody else. You know what I mean? Can't do that. You know? Most of us don't grab that. We think the body has the power. It doesn't, Michael. Dale, you know what I'm talking about. Your spirit does. You can walk this life because of what Jesus Christ had done. You know what Jesus Christ had done, you guys? Most of us don't grab this. When I went through that pain of not breathing, that's what he took on the cross. Tammy, he literally experienced my death on the cross. You know, when that day you leave your body, literally the reason you're not going to experience it, because he's already experienced it for you. Is that good news? You don't have to be afraid. He literally died and experienced everybody's death on this planet. Whatever way they go, it doesn't matter which way they go. He has experienced it. Billy Joe, I don't know how you're going to go. I don't know when you're going to leave. Ain't that good news? Yeah. He said, get away from me. Go over there. But the bottom line is this. When it happens, you're not going to have to be worried about it, even the pain, because he took it for you. He took the sting out of death, period. And since there's no sting in death, why aren't we doing what he wants us to do then? Why aren't we living like he's asked us to live? Why do we come up with all these excuses? Because we're trying to hold on to the dead flesh. Did you hear what I just said? We're trying to hold on to it, and we're trying to serve him out of our flesh. Can't do it, Mike. You know that. You have to serve him out of your spirit. The real you. One of the things that I try to get people to understand now as I travel is that literally that we that are born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, that we do not die at all. We are eternal beings. We live forever. I try to get Christians to understand that literally you might as well get along because you're going to get along any old way. If you got an issue with someone, get over it because you're going to get over it any old way. You might as well get over it here. You know what I mean? You might as well go ahead and start loving people because when you get there, you're going to love people any old way. You might as well go ahead and be gentle to people, TJ, because when you get there, you're going to be gentle any old way. And I'm telling you something. There is going to be a lot longer than here. This is very short compared to there. So you might as well get used to being who God has called you to be because that's who you're going to be any old way. Sometimes people say, well, that's when I get there. You don't understand. When you became born again, when you became that new creation, and I like the way you say it, Pastor, you would return back to the original. You know? When you become that, literally, you're put into the eternal realm. Time has no play on your life no longer. Some of you are saying, I have a hard time with that. Yeah, hard time. Get it? Hard? You don't get it. Okay. That's all right. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is you outlive every problem you have. Is that good news? You can't take it with you. You might as well go ahead and act like you're living it now. You guys hear what I'm saying? Someone says, you make it too simple. Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know it was that simple until I left this body to go where the Father and Jesus is. You know, when I left this body to go to be where the Father and Jesus is, what we call death, I left this body here. I've heard people say, I got to touch the man that went to heaven. You ain't touching the man that went to heaven because it was my spirit and my soul. It was not this flesh. I'm going to tell you something. If you want it, I'll package it up when I leave and leave it for you. I'm just putting it out there. I'll put it in a nice box. You can put it in your house and you can keep there as long as you want it. But my body didn't go. It stayed right here. But my spirit, the real me, that which became born again, that which knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that which has the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of it forever, went. Is that good news or is that good news? This morning, I just wanted to really point that out. Some of you are saying, well, I came to hear things about heaven. Well, I want to make sure you get to heaven, so. I want to make sure you get there. Because I'm going to tell you something. Even if I talk about heaven, I'm way short. You know, but when you go, Patrick, you'll see it all. You'll experience it all. You'll probably come up to me and say, Dean, if I'm there before you, or you see me come in, you say, Dean, you were really, really, really short in describing this place. You know? And that's okay, you guys. Because I just want you to go. I remember my friend Bill Wise, as he was talking to me a few months ago, as he was saying to me, he said he's the one that wrote 23 Minutes in Hell. And he said this to me. He said, I wish I would have gone to heaven. Yeah, he has a thriving ministry. He goes around the world telling people what it's like in hell. But Michael, think about it. You got to go tell people about death over and over and over. See, people that go to hell, they die over and over and over. The saddest thing about it is they experience the flesh, but they have no flesh. They're literally acting like they have flesh when they have no flesh. Now, that's bad news right there. So here he is going around the world telling people. And I was thinking to myself, I ain't going to tell him I wish I would have went to hell. There's no way. That ain't coming out of my mouth. I ain't going to hell. I ain't going there. But the bottom line is this, you guys. I was thinking about it later on. Here's this man that's got a ministry, and he's got to tell you how bad it is in hell. And I got the ministry to tell you how great it is in heaven. You know? So if you want to pray for him. Pray for me too, but pray for him. That's what God has given him, to take that burden of letting people know how bad it is there. You know. Father, thank you for your presence. You know what you're doing. You know how you want to impact each and every person here. Yes, I understand. Your love needed to be poured out in this manner. So there's some in here in this room that literally need to make that decision for you. You have a place for them, a place that passes peace. Yes, I know, as I like to say it, everything's right, nothing's wrong. Father, I just pray right now as they are feeling that call from you on their heart, that you, Lord, just open up so that they can make that decision. So that they, when they go through this moment like I did, they will not have to experience death. There's no sting in it. That they will leave their body and go to be where you are because they're going home. Wow. In your son's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise God. There are some things out there we have. We do have the book. It's in the bookstore. You guys can get it from Lindsay. Some of these are in there. If they run out, then they can start ordering them online. So these are back there. We do have a USB, you guys, which has everything on it. Shannon's helping me out. She'll tell you. And what we did is we put a whole bunch of stuff on here. And that way you can have it. It's yours. You can do what you want with it. I'm on my way home. Amen. I'm not here to build a kingdom, you guys. Okay? I'm here to enhance his kingdom. So that's back there. And then on the DVD that you've seen, those that help us out in any way, that we usually go ahead and give you one of those DVDs. We have the 700 Club one. It's back there. And then we also have that Bio Channel one. And what I recommend with the BioChannel one is that you make copies of it and give it to as many people as you can. Because the bottom line is this. This man died. The doctors say it. The medical records say it. Now, where did he go? And watch the discussion came up. When I was in Baker City not too long ago, a woman did that with her mother and her brother. They asked me and the pastor to come over the next day and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is that good news or is that good news? It's been very powerful. So those are back there. Shannon can help you to them. Where you at, Shannon? Okay. Shannon will help you with them and everything like that. But you guys, make sure you try to get one of these and then make copies. You guys hear what I just said? Copies. And then start sharing with as many people as possible. Here you are, Pastor.
Dean, did you said you wanted to, let's do an altar call.
Sure.
Let's do that.
Sure.
Right now, if you would, everybody stand up, please. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, yes. Right now, with every head bowed, if you're here this morning, the Spirit of God was speaking to you. Whether it was about becoming a believer, receiving the new birth, that is what qualifies you to go to heaven. If you feel that the Lord was speaking to your heart, where we want to be an avenue through which you can make contact with Him and receive salvation. Or if you've received salvation but say, Father, I've been living more out of my flesh than my spirit. And I want to just make a recommitment to you. Oh, praise God. We'd love to pray with you and restore that fellowship that you once had when you were first saved out of that first love that you acquired of Him. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language, the language of the new birth, we'd love to pray for you, lay hands on and pray for you. So, would you take a moment then and step out where you're at and come up forward? We won't do anything to embarrass you or make you feel embarrassed. But take the first step. Don't feel alone, but just come forward, anybody that would like to. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, sweetheart. Praise God, right here. Okay. Anyone else would like to come forward? Hallelujah, right now. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Don't hesitate. Your life is too important for the Lord right now. Your life is too important for Him. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? This is an important part of the time prayer. That is vitally important for your life. Hallelujah. Yes, right here. Yes, right here. This is fine. Hallelujah. Okay. Right here. Anyone else? Anyone else? We're doing business with the Lord right now. This is important. You are an eternal being. So this is an important part of your life. If you was to face a major operation, that would be important to you. This is like that. It's very major, very, very important, and very sincere. Matter of fact, all three of you that are here before me now, it's amazing you're here because the enemy would love to have taken you out. He hasn't been able to do that. Anyone else? Let's pray. Then you have a personal worker behind you. You go with them, and they'll give you instructions, pray with you, give you everything you need for what you came forward for. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for these precious people that have come forward for whatever that need is. And Father, You'll see to it that that need is met. And Father, the easy part is salvation, but the critical part is growing up in You. Father, cause all three to grow up in You to the full stature of Christ in them. in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Lord wanted me to give you a personal word. Things will begin to change. And you will experience a new beginning in your life. Because you've had enough of the old. So having said that, turn around and get with the people behind you. Praise God. And just go with them. That is important.